We're looking at imperatives. Imperatives parents need to do or think, and we've numbered them at 30. The number one imperative that we're going to look at today is building the foundation. We talked yesterday about motivation to do it. Now we're going to talk about the foundation of that home called the child. How do we build that child's foundation?
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and on Monday, we went through all of the 30 things every parent must do to train their child for adulthood. Yesterday, we did talk about leaving a legacy. What is your motivation to go back home after work, per se? And that kind of ties into the purpose of life and the legacy that you're leaving.
I thought you popped a good thing in there yesterday. You talked about how so many of us have been talking. You can do it all, and you can do it all equally well. And I think you even sent me down a road. You manipulated me yesterday a little bit. It was awesome. How easy it is for the American female to get caught in believing she should be able to do it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, even in Christian circles, we talk a lot about God has a purpose for your life. So you're thinking, okay, purpose equals task. God has like this one shining moment that I was made for. And we watch movies about that too. It's like all of life builds up to this one moment in your life. And then when you have kids, you're like, your kid. Me. I'm made for this, you know, until you go on vacation, you miss your kids so much. You're like, yes, I do. This is the purpose of life. I love my kids. I miss them.
I think
them,
the purpose of life is today.
So
this is the day the Lord has made. Mm-hmm. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. I think, and you always laugh, so I'm not going to look at you when I say this, but the guy who exemplifies it for me is Joseph in Genesis 37 through 50. Mm-hmm. Joseph was 17 years old, sold into slavery, and he did such a great job in Genesis 39 verses 1 through 6 that Potiphar said, man, your God is blessing you in this, and your God is blessing you in that. Joseph just worked. Did he want to be a slave for Potiphar? No, he worked and he stayed pure and he stayed away from Potiphar's wife. And then he goes to prison and he gets this prison ministry thing going. There's nothing Joseph did to set himself up for the dream. Nothing. There was a dream at 17, but he didn't set himself up for the dream. He did his, this is the day the Lord has made. I would not have picked Potiphar's house, but I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Mm-hmm. This is the day the Lord has made. I don't know how I got in prison for doing the right thing, but I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And then, bam, all prime minister. I really, really, really believe God's will for my life is today. Mm-hmm. Do today, live today in a way that would honor Christ.
And to know that it's all part of the purpose. Sort of it. The jail time was part.
It all worked together for good for those who love God. Mm-hmm. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:3 that you are a letter about God. I'm a letter of recommendation for God, what he's meant in my life every day. And so I am the writing. I am, and you are. People look at us and they know we're Christians. And so I think I need to do what's in front of me. And the hard part is we've watched a lot of movies and we've seen this excitement out there of that to that to that. And all of a sudden the orphanage burns down and it's built better by the end of an hour and four commercials. And our life doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It's more of a Joseph, 11 years at this job and 2.5 years in this horrible prison job. And then bam, do what's in front of you. But here's the key to Joseph and here's how it worked for him. The foundation had been laid and the number one imperative for our children is to lay the foundation. Everything else is built on a foundation. If your foundation is buy more things and you'll be happier, you're going to be miserable. Mm-hmm. If your foundation is live for the weekend, if your foundation is whatever your hobby is, if the foundation of what you think makes you happy, you're dead. If your foundation is please your friends, become a celebrity, the next idol, whatever it is, you're dead. The foundation that was built for him, he says to Potiphar's wife, and it's an interesting setup in Genesis 39, where he says, in this household, nothing has been denied me but you. Potiphar has put me in charge of everything but you. Mm-hmm. And you think he's going to say, he's going to say the reason he's not going to do this is because Potiphar's been so nice to him. Because that would mean if Potiphar wasn't nice to him, then he would have an affair with her. Mm-hmm. He doesn't cave in. You wonder where he's going at first, but then he says, but how could I do such a thing and sin against God? Yeah. His foundation was God. And his foundation was to lean not to his own understanding. And that's really important. Trust God with all his heart and lean not to his understanding. I don't understand what you're doing here, God. I felt like there was a dream for me. I don't know what the dream was, but I know you love me with an everlasting love. I know you'll never leave me or forsake me. But he stayed the course. The training he got probably from his mom, he stayed the course. He stayed the course so that when the hard times came from 17 up to 40 years old, he stayed the course. Mm. It's an amazing story. I want to give my children the proper foundation.
Yeah.
And I want to give them a foundation, not of a little bit of this will make you happy, and a little bit of that will make you happy, and a little bit of that will make you happy, and the right activity and get good grades. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but those are sinking sand, the Bible says. Building your life on rock, on the sturdy granite of Almighty God and His principles, that's the house that'll survive.
And I think it's good sometimes when kids have a few hard knocks here and there at school, even with the family. We've gone through a financial crisis. Maybe you've gone through unemployment, your husband or wife, and you've had to make drastic changes. You know what? I'm just praying and hoping that the next generation does make wiser financial decisions than even we did, because we suffered so many consequences for the decisions that we made. My husband's famous story of his boss that got this incredible deal, this one client, and it took care of him for 2 years. Over six figures he was making because of this one client that he had. He never invested in other clients. Well, the one client cut the contract and he was left out to dry. And it took him years to build up just to get back to what he thought was his normal lifestyle, because he didn't even set himself up. So this whole even financial crisis is a huge lesson for all areas of our life, that we need to be wise in building and have the reason why we exist, have the focus of our life, or else it's going to crash down.
You said the word, why am I here? If I'm really here to love God, if I'm really here to trust God, and we say that in this nice church talk and this nice religious talk, and unfortunately, it's only during the difficult times when I have to analyze that.
Unfortunately.
During the blessings, I kind of tip God, and it's nice that you're here, and I'll give you a 10% tip. rather than the reality of knowing you're the center of my existence, to send our children out the door loving God is so unbelievably important. One of the ways we did that is they knew that every morning, except for Tuesday mornings, they knew every morning I was going to read the Bible to them. Rosemary read it to them on Tuesday mornings. And we just sat at the breakfast table and read the Bible. And that was an imperative. That was the beginning of who we were. We would also look during the day or the evening or whenever I'd pick them up from school for Howdy or Rosemary pick them up. How did that play a part in our day? And we would really work at, this is not just this routine. We read this. Okay, I'm reading the letter C in the dictionary now. and I'm going to read the first 16 words of the letter C. That's not what we did. We'd read the first six or seven verses and started in the Gospel of John, and we'd stop and, what does that mean to you? And, you know, and I want to help parents here. My children never had a comment. I would always finish reading and say, anybody have a thought or comment? In 20 years, there wasn't one thought or one comment. I dreamt of the day one of my children would just scream, praise God, and fall on the floor and just be praying. Never, ever happened. I have normal, awesome, incredible kids. But it was my job to plant that seed and plant that seed and plant that seed. This is a parenting imperative. Mm-hmm. We've got to decide, we're sending them out. What makes you tick? Why are you here? Because if you don't know the why you live, then you won't know what you should or shouldn't do. He knew, Joseph knew why. Okay, let me get this straight. I'm in a pagan country. Everybody's doing this. I'm like at the University of Egypt in college, and everybody at the State University of Egypt is doing all these horrible things. And they're asking me, why aren't you doing them? Well, you know, everybody's doing them. And I mean, I think the Bible says don't conform to the pattern of this culture, but everybody's doing it. And he says, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? And even though his friends might have looked at him, the other slaves in the slave quarters, saying, what's your God done for you?
Mm-hmm.
I trust God. There will be nothing more important you can do. This imperative is absolutely the foundation that everything's built on, but it takes the entire time at home with that child. It takes the 20 years or 18 years you have that child to continue to pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. And sometime in that child's life, that child will have to make your faith his faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's your faith, and I watched each of my children. Tori was a little more overt questioning at some point in her life. Roby never questioned. He just ramped it and got it. They both got it, and they both get it, but it was a long journey of getting them there. And it's the same thing we do at Sheridan House. Here at Sheridan House, we spend our time every morning having devotions with the boys before they, and girls before they go off to school, and planting this in their hearts. And you watch, you wonder if they ever get it. Are these kids ever going to get it? And we had a young man just graduate from Sheridan House named Shane. This kid is absolutely awesome, and he just finished with us a year and a half. And when you finish and get all your points, you get to graduate. And the house he's in, the house father there happens to be a praise and worship leader from another church, cool, who's now our house parent in a large church. And so he got Shane on a set of drums, and nice. His life changed. He finally found something he was really, really good at.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane was a kid who didn't talk to anybody much. He just wasn't very verbal, and he came alive. Watching him to the point where he has shown up in a church in Southwest Broward and is about to be the drummer in the praise team.
Wow.
This kid gets it. But it was a slow process of connecting him to God and then building off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So every parent's got to decide, this is so hard. And you want to ask parents, why would you not think it's going to be hard? If this is the most important parenting thing you'll ever do, then why would getting them to soccer be so much easier than getting them to sit at the table and read the Bible?
Because parenting, you're talking about parenting not being in survival mode, just get through it. You're talking about you're always functioning in almost a deeper mode. I got to connect the dots all the time, not just for me, which is hard enough already, but for my kids too. Yeah, how is God connected with our lives at all times? And that just takes a lot of intention.
It takes intention, but it's a momentum that builds up. First of all, it's deciding as I'm being intentional that this is important. So we're going to figure out when we do that at the house. We can do it in the morning. It just worked at our breakfast table. We got up earlier to do it. And nobody cheered for that. Nobody cheered for getting up earlier. Or you do it at the dinner table. And we just found that the dinner table was not consistent, though they were a little more alert, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But we did it at the breakfast table and it took 10 plus minutes. And then, you know, trying to think of how do we apply that, and sometimes seeing a situation where I can apply it to the passage we read a week ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever, and getting them used to it and making a game out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, who sees something there? And what do you mean? Well, what do you see there? And, well, it's a guy on the side of the road and whatever. What do you see? Well, that's that Samaritan thing we read. Yes, it is. When we go home, we're just going to take a minute and read it and see what the parallel is with that. Well, then it was great. And Roby says, so then why didn't we stop?
Ouch.
It was great. I said, well, you know, we didn't stop for this reason. There are places he can go to today. Mm-hmm. And Robe, you've seen some situations where we go actually to this place and we give money to that place because glory to God. We want the glory to go to God. The picture here is I want to help them do the translation, but I have of the Bible to their walk in this life. Mm-hmm. If you're not intentional about this, it will never happen. And what we tend to do is subcontract it out to church and youth group.
Yeah.
Ruthie, we just hope you teach them in youth group these things they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work. I am the soil that God wants to use in the life of my children. And so I'm the soil he's temporarily planting. He will root prune them and remove them. I'm the soil. That house called the Barnes household was the soil that needed to grow up in. Is it good soil? Is it bad soil? But is it soil that's going to produce any fruit? And they were created to produce some kind of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really know what it is, but I've got to decide that my job is just to keep the soil right and keep the soil enriched with miracle grow. And
praying to God for some miracles.
Yes, and some water. Yes, please water this soil, Lord. So it's an absolute giving them the why. And the why is, why are you here? Faith in Christ. Why do we do some of the things we do? Faith in Christ. Why don't we do? Faith in Christ. How do you go find the doers of the don'ts? Well, that's why we read the manual. The manual gives us the do's and the don'ts more and more and more. And so we want to spend time learning that manual so it's automatic and we can get to be a Joseph. See, unfortunately, we tend to overlook this lesson.
Yeah.
We can't see, is this really productive? I don't see the productiveness here. And we miss connecting them. It's hilarious. Imagine this. Imagine you're in a location and somebody has told you the guy who is looking to hire somebody to do the exact job you've wanted to do all your life is on the property right now. You just have to find him. All your life, you've been trained to want to do blank job. This guy is the president of blank company and he's looking for that person. You would get you or your kid or whatever it was to that person as hard, and just search and search and search. The one who made me and wired me and knows what I'm supposed to be doing and made my babies and wired them. Why would I not spend time teaching them the process of having a relationship with him? Is it hard? Yes. Are they disruptive? Yes. Are they going to get in the way? Yes. Are they going to make it difficult? Yes, they are. But this is the most important thing we'll ever do. So when we're looking at parenting imperatives, there is absolutely bar none, nothing more important than taking the time. This is more important than vitamins, than taking the time to read the Bible with my kids, taking the time to teach them about God, taking that 15 minutes a day, finding other fun ways to show or plug it in during the day or during the week, but letting them know this is how important this is. You know how rigid I am about brushing your teeth, Roby. This is far more important. You can get new teeth, not a new heart. This is far more important than this. So setting the stage to give my children a faith in Jesus Christ is unbelievably important. Set the stage, be consistent, build a rock.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and this week we're talking about the 30 imperatives to parenting. Monday, we covered all 30 of the things you need to teach your child to get them ready for adulthood. And today, covering number two, the foundational why. And if you want to hear the summary of them that we did on Monday or yesterday or today's program, you can do that online at parentingonpurpose.org. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the resources that are there to help you in your parenting, even your marriage journey, you can go online and find them at shfm.org. You can also give to the ministry online or simply by texting two letters, SH, short for Sheridan House, and send that text to 41518, and that'll give a one-time gift of $10 to Sheridan House. Thank you for your support, and we do hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our list of the 30 imperatives to parenting here on Parenting on Purpose.